Mike Rowe here with a radical idea. If you want to see more companies make more things in this country, buy more things from more companies who make things in this country. I refer in this case to the incredible t-shirts, sweatshirts, blue jeans, and more made by my friends at American Giant. Everything American Giant makes is made in the United States. And right now, you can take 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com/Mike. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
I'm Austin Butler.
Elvis. And I'm Barry Keoghan.
Keoghan.
And Austin Butler. I still sound like Elvis for some reason.
You don't know what's going on up in them skies.
No, I just shake a little bit of what's an Elvis song anyway.
It ain't nothing but a hound dog, baby.
Ain't nothing but a flack. I learned what flack is. You know.
This is what you, that's what you, where you learned flack from, this show?
Yeah, well, you're giving me flack right now about it.
Hey.
Shut your gosh dang. Okay, we're here to talk about Masters of the Air.
Woo!
Okay, for the gosh dang HBO boys, I'm Ryan. That's Adam.
I'm
Masters
here.
Of the Air is a spiritual successor to Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks's Band of Brothers and the Pacific. Do you like war stuff? Cool.
I love the war stuff.
I'm glad, because this is war stuff.
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
You talk about Band of Brothers all the time. The Pacific less so, but mainly I feel as though that's just because the Band of Brothers was just such a high bar. Right.
It was a high bar, and I'll be honest with you, it's like the one I go back to watch, but I haven't even given the Pacific that chance yet. I have not rewatched the Pacific. And I said out loud watching Masters of the Air, I'm like, man, I really need to rewatch the Pacific because I remember it being very good.
I said that 100. I didn't say it out loud, said it internally, but I felt the exact same thing.
Yes.
Like, man, I got to give that stuff another chance because, yeah, I watch Baston from Band of Brothers once a year.
Yeah, is it once a year in the Christmas times?
It is on April 22nd.
Oh.
4 a.m. I set an alarm. I wake up and I go, time for Baston.
Oh, man, what a... Oh, God, that's poetic. That was a poetic episode. The entire series is so, so good.
Yes. What I like about specific war stuff, like this war stuff, is that it is not afraid to be real sad and messed up. But do it in a way that feels graceful, that doesn't feel gratuitous, but is like, war's scary.
War's terrifying. and this show... we're leveraging graphical, visual effects that we've never had before because the span between Band of Brothers to now is so vast.
Yeah.
And even the Pacific, but the whole being up in the sky and planes exploding and falling to Earth, like that, it looks wonderful.
It looks insane.
It's
man.
So good. It's very, very good.
You know what's also scary other than war?
Sure.
This guy.
The sky is terrifying, especially when you're falling from, what are they up, 20,000 feet or something like that? They're not quite 30,000.
It's
an amount where it's very cold. So.
Too high.
Too high.
When that guy touches the gun and it's too cold and he's like, oh, my hand's bad now.
Yep. And because he had to fire, his hands were... freezer burn essentially, and that then I don't know if you caught it, but the guy, he pissed himself and it froze.
Oh.
And like he had frostbite on his ass, like
that's
terrifying to think about.
Yeah Those are tough times. There's a lot of terrifying things in this show, but yes, the first thing I said was this show looks amazing.
Sure.
I love that Band of Brothers and the Pacific are of their time. They are as much time capsules for when they were made as the times in which they are portraying.
Sure.
And this will be the same. Now on Apple TV, it is visually stunning. One of the best visual shows and sound designs of any show I've ever seen. And of course, this is T. Hanks and S. Spielberg, baby. You're going to, that's what's going to happen when you get the gang back together.
Yeah, I would love for you to watch this. I would love for you to plug in your surround sound because you have one. You just don't use it very well.
And
listen to this show with surround sound. It's very impressive.
Well, you can't make me. So
okay.
Let's talk
about...
Well,
I'll be there for Super Bowl Sunday, so maybe I'll do it for you.
Oh, that'd be sick. I'd really like that.
Sure.
Anyway, let's talk about the ins and outs of this bad boy.
Mm.
So it is created by John Orloff, who is also doing most of the writing. He was a writer way back when on two episodes of Band of Brothers and also did the screenplay for Legends of the Guardians, The Owls of Gahool. Which,
I've never heard of that.
No, dude. It is the best name for a movie that's ever existed. I remember, I don't know what movie I was seeing, but a trailer for it came up in 2010 or 2009.
Mm.
And at the end, it showed the name, and I was like, well, that's a joke. That's not real. You're telling me that there's a lot of people paid a lot of money. It went through a lot of time, like time, effort, pain, and revision after revision, and up the ladder, and through every single solitary person that it went through, they were like, Legends of the Guardians, The Owls of Gahool? Check.
You got it, Zack Snyder.
No notes. No notes whatsoever. That's true. Actually, you know what? That is a great point you've just made.
Yeah.
It is a Zack Snyder joint. So he was like, I will take no notes, in fact.
It's so crazy to think about. From the studio that brought you Happy Feet. Zack Snyder.
And the director who bought you 300. The shortest name that you could make. Legends of the Guardians. The Owls of Gahool.
Do you think there's a Snyder cut of the Legend of Guardians, the Owls of Gahool?
Legends of Gahool, Owls of Guardians? Yeah. No, I know there is. It is 7 hours long. Release the Snyder cut of Legends of the Guardians, the Owls of Gahool. Yeah. Let's go talking back to the last of the Masters of the Air.
Yeah,
so, for sure. I always think back, you know, let's all remember, this is T. Hanks and S. Spielberg.
Yeah.
I always think back that Band of Brothers was made in between shooting for Castaway because Tom Hanks had to lose weight to be in that movie. I just remember that always from the behind the scenes video. Again, we're not talking about Masters of the Air. I'm going to keep going forward. So 5 days have passed. You are Austin Butler. And the 5 days that have passed are from in the time in which you leave Tom Hanks's side playing Elvis. And now he is a producer on the movie and you're playing Major Gale Buck Cleven. And the first day you do Elvis's voice and the director, Cary Joji Fukunaga, who I believe that's how you say that, but I'm never sure.
Fukunaga.
Yeah, hard G or not, I don't know. By the way, that guy, amazing job. He's on Beasts of No Nation, It, No Time to Die. This guy is setting the scene for us, doing a lot of the episodes up front. Anyway, we get here, first day, Austin Butler does Elvis's voice. Do you think there's a powwow at Video Village where they're like, do we just tell him to go for it? Like, who? I don't think he can get out of it. It's been 8 hours.
Well, he said it in the show, and I just don't remember what state and city he came from. But he said, I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Like, his voice fits where he's from. I want to say it could be Memphis, Tennessee.
I'm looking it up now. I don't want it.
Yeah.
He's born in Anaheim, California.
No. The character.
Oh, he's from Wyoming, my dude.
Oh, Wyoming. That's what it is. Yeah. So he's got like that cowboyish, but there is absolutely an Elvis twang in there.
Yeah. I just couldn't get rid of it. I couldn't let go of the character. I hate when people say that.
I'm the king of the air.
No, you're not. Hey, Austin, look at me in the eyes. Stop saying you're the king of the air.
But I am the king of the air.
Stop talking like that. You have a normal person's voice.
All right, I'm the king of this fortress.
No, say king.
I'm the king.
No, no, just say the word king.
King.
Okay, say of. Okay. Now say air.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I quit, right? I think I'm just done. Tom, I'm out. Sorry, I tried. Carrie, no, come back, Carrie. I was in that moment playing Tom Hanks. So listen.
Yeah, no, I got you.
You get used to it over time. He's playing Buck.
It's fine.
His friend is volatile Bucky, Major John Bucky Egan, who at some point gets demoted, played by Callum Turner. And so, there are like only three, I would say, main characters of this show. Them, and then Anthony Boyle playing Lieutenant Harry Crosby, the map guy who keeps throwing up.
Oh, I'm like, oh, this guy is going to get everyone killed. And then they're like, you're doing great. I'm like, okay.
Right. Like this guy, that was good. He keeps throwing up on people and putting
him into
helmets.
Yeah, wish you were in the cockpit with us.
Yeah. I mean, he gets up there at one point. He's like, I don't know, turn right. And it was, it was good. So that's fine.
Yeah.
So those are basically like the three main characters. And then Barry Kagan's Lieutenant Curtis Biddick. I would have put in that category, but I don't think I can anymore. So,
well, I mean, we'll see.
He exploded, Adam.
Well, we'll see.
Okay. I don't think we have to.
You know, there was something that happened, and by this point, spoilers, I suppose. But there's one scene where the baby face gets caught in the gunner turret, and the guy is trying to get him out and the plane's going down. Remember that scene? That was pretty hard to watch.
I didn't like that.
There was a preview of the next episode. I believe it's episode 4. Is that I think that guy survived. So I'm wondering how that's going to go. No. The kid in the ball gunner turret.
Oh, yeah. No, he landed. It seems as though he's doing a side quest. Like,
no, that's not the same kid that landed with the Dutch girl or whatever they are.
Oh, the guy.
That's the guy who didn't help him. Yeah.
The guy he left survived?
I think that's what they alluded to in the preview for the next episode.
Oh, my God. That would be.
Dude, I would be murdering that kid.
I'd see him be like, hey, Glenn. What's up?
You survived, too. Crazy.
Cool. How's your past few months been go prison camp, huh? Good. Good.
Yeah, I've almost died, so.
Yeah. Both my legs broken. Yeah. They sort of were backwards. Can't ever make those good again because we're
now,
in the
I don't
World
know
War
if that's II. Actually going to happen, but I think that's what they alluded to. That's what I caught really quickly, so.
I want
if
it
not,
to happen.
Whatever. I want it to happen. I absolutely want it to happen.
That'd be extra chill. I'm down with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. They are stationed in England, and they are driving what are called, or flying, I suppose, what are called forts. They are fortresses. Big old bombers. They have 10 people in them each. And unlike the Europeans, who are bombing at night, to which they are mocked for, the Americans are mocked for doing it during the day because it is apparently suicide.
I mean, we're watching it happen. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it sort of looks like it, too.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Europeans bombing at night, harder to hit stuff, but also harder to get hit by the flak. You know, the stuff going up in the air and exploding into like a million tiny pieces of shrapnel, which is just, I don't like that. And the Americans during the day, and they've been on like, what, 3 runs now? Each one of them, they lose so many birds.
A bunch of people and a bunch of fortresses.
There was one. Remember when that fortress went down in the sea?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, those 10 guys are going to be alive for 3 days and then eat each other.
Oh, no. Or get eaten by sharks.
No one's going to get those guys.
Well, so, you know what? I like to believe anyway that the crews do relay the position so they can send someone, but who freaking knows, man? It's war.
It's war.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Also a fun fact, as I'm reading the Wikipedia on this show.
Love that.
Sawyer Spielberg, who is Steven Spielberg's son, plays a recurring character, Lieutenant Roy Frank Claytor.
I will say,
didn't know that.
You gotta have Steven Spielberg as your dad to pull off the name Sawyer.
Yeah, right.
Okay, what are moments from this show that when I bring it up, just immediately jump out to you? What do you remember for the first three episodes?
So the one of the very first scenes of the show was when he was trying to land at that base and the wind was crazy and he it kept jerking the plane to the left and the right. And he was the first one and the only one, it seems, to land the plane. So that immediately set that this dude's got chops. But I just that was such a great way to open up the crew on screen, is to see them in that situation where it could crash the plane or not. And it didn't. And that's great.
I remember one of the first scenes, Buck and Bucky are with a few women before they are headed out.
Sure.
And I thought the scene was generally weak. It was a little weird. It was the first time I was really hearing Austin Butler's voice. And I was just saying out loud, that's just Elvis's voice, man. Come on, try well, at all.
Take Elvis out of your head.
Try it all, man. And I was really scared for a moment.
Oh, boy.
That this show was going to be bad.
No.
And then the intro started. And after 4 to 5 days when it was over, I was like, gosh dang, that's long. The music is great. This looks great. I wonder if there will be an abridged intro eventually. Nope.
Thank God for skip the intro. However, I did give it its fair due and watch the entirety of the intro for the first two episodes because the Band of Brothers one is iconic. The Pacific one is really great. And I just wanted to see what they would do with this one. And it didn't disappoint. It was pretty good.
Oh, I've watched the whole thing every time because
have?
Yeah, because this is on Apple TV. So I have a Chromecast.
Oh.
And so I'm casting from a tab in Chrome on my computer that's not a laptop. So it's across the room. So I'm not, I always think to myself, like, I should go over there, man.
Nah.
Nah, I'm not gonna.
Well, I'll tell you. I do skip it now because it is quite long, but it's beautifully done. The music is always good in these shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. I mean, this is a brilliantly crafted show. It falls under the category of Sam did not want to watch it, looked at her phone for 20 or 25 minutes, and then at one point I looked over and she was looking up and I was like, all right.
Oh, it got her.
Hooked we got her. It. Yeah. You know what part she really liked and I really liked too?
What's that?
When a man went out of the plane because it was going down and he was on a parachute and then he slammed into the wing of another plane.
Oh, yeah. That was insane.
And I made a noise out loud a lot like this. Oh!
Oh, yeah. I've been doing that a lot in this show because everything happens so quickly.
Yeah. Like, oh, no. Oh, that's bad.
Ooh.
And then I made this. Guess when I made this one? Well, dang.
There could be a couple different times.
It's when Barry Kagan exploded.
Yeah, so. That's the one I've immediately thought of. But I was like, oh, no.
He had a great I'm going to die now sound.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, God. And, and I was like, oh, you'll be fine. No, oh, no, you,
nah,
explode.
Well,
you exploded.
I really hope. I hope that's not the last we see him, but I have a pretty bad feeling. But he's listed as a main cast member and may only be in three episodes.
I know, but he also is like the white boy of the month. He was literally on Hot Ones today.
I know. I saw that. I watched that one.
He's the new Joker. And
yeah, he's good. I like him.
I do too. He's going to be in a lot of things for a very long time. And then I will say, so, okay, general, obviously, if you can't tell, I love this show.
Yeah.
I think it is, out of everything I'm currently watching, it's the best thing on television right now. What I will say is that last episode, in episode 3, they introduce a side quest. Side quests are tried and true in the Spielberg Hanks universe of war movies. I've been waiting for one. Like, they showed the mechanics and I was at the beginning of episode 2 And so I was like, good. Oh, is this going to be a whole mechanics episode? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hope they do, but I don't know if we will. I don't know if we'll get that.
No, but the thing, when they showed them at first, I was like, oh, no, 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 not now. If you're going to do a mechanics episode, do it 4, 5, 6. You can't just show us what you just did in the pilot and then be like, anyway, what are the guys fixing stuff do? But Lieutenant Glenn Graham, who left a man to die, maybe, yeah, is now on a side quest. It feels as though we are going to keep following him. Now, what I will say is the only sort of disappointing part of this show was when that moment happened and they showed him and the vibe was clear. This is about to be side quest. It's about to be a B plot for the next at least one episode, if not more. I didn't remember seeing this dude previously. I know I did, but I didn't remember seeing him. And I just sort of wished that the character they chose for a side quest was more memorable prior to the moment in which they were like, here you go. There's this guy now.
Yeah, I think that he was, and I could be very wrong because I'm in the same boat as you. He's not very memorable, but I think he's one of the new recruits that came in episode 2. He wasn't there in the first episode, I don't think, because he was the same crew as that babyface kid, and he was like a young guy that got recruited. I think that's what we're dealing with there, but I don't know for sure. I would have to rewatch, I'll be honest with you.
I thought... And listen, I could be wrong, but I thought he was one of the ones like rolling the dice in that scene and the one who lost. I don't know. Anyway, my point is, who's your favorite character on the show so far?
Well, I mean, I like Barry Co. How the fuck do you say his name?
Kogan.
I like Barry Keoghan's character. And it's not for the reason of like he's like the stoic like main character. He's definitely a side character, but in the main cast.
He's not stoic at all.
No, but I like that he's very like nonchalant. Like when he's flying the plane and he's trying to land, he's like, oh, well, guys, give me one moment here. Hold on 1 second while I land this fucking bird. Like, but he's just very chill and like almost comedic about it. And I like that.
Yeah, landed onto a farm, gave me the sense that perhaps he can live through anything, and then he exploded.
And then he potentially exploded.
Yeah.
Well, his plane definitely exploded. Who knows if he did?
That's true. And for a dumb reason, I'm not dumb, hopeful. It was full of hope, but his pal had been shot through the face, and he was still conscious, but like, it was over.
Guy was dead.
If we all jump out, he can't, and he'll definitely die. To which I think someone responded like, Barry, it's over, Barry.
Yeah, and he's like, I'll jump out at the end in a minute.
And you know what he didn't do?
He didn't jump out.
He didn't jump out. So.
But he's been, you know what? This is why I'm holding out hope, because he's been such a huge part of the press tour for this show. So I'm like, he can't only go through 3 episodes. I can't imagine that.
And again, like, I got the vibe this dude was immortal. He did a really good job of landing a plane on a farm. He was there hanging out with some Scotsmen, drinking, having a good time. This guy will never die. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Well... I suppose we'll see next episode. Again, I hope that he is Logan from Marvel. I hope he is immortal, for lack of a better word. But I suppose we'll see.
Yeah, man. I don't think he's going to be. Anyway.
Something I didn't realize until I watched Hot Ones today on this one, he was also in Dunkirk, which was another great movie, which we saw in 70mm IMAX.
I know we did. Also, amazing, truly brilliant in Banshees of Inisherin.
Oh, see, I got to watch that.
Oh, my God, that movie. That a lot of people, every time I bring it up, there's like a 50-50 shot someone's going to say it's boring and sucks. I think that person's boring and sucks, you know, because I love that movie so much.
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
Okay. Well, any other parts of this show that immediately come to mind? I'll talk actually for one moment about sure. Callum Turner's John Bucky Egan. He is a wild spit fireball, and yeah. he scares me because he gets very drunk. Mm-hmm. And he does stupid things.
Yeah, he's and a now wild card.
He's back in the sky. It feels as though one day later in the show, he'll sacrifice himself for Austin Butler. Now. It feels like that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, he's
or the other way around.
It's like he's got something to prove or pay back, even though I don't think he does. Or
no.
does he?
No, but he's giving me Matt Damon and Saving Private Ryan vibes, like, mm-hmm. you know, the fade to his old face looking at Austin Butler's gray. Like, one of them isn't making it through this show.
Right. Well, I'm curious how their stories are going to pan out, because I know coming up, we're going to see a little bit of the Tuskegee Airmen, which is a very cool part of history that's very undertold. So I'm hopeful that they dig into that a little bit more, which will take them away from the main storyline. But I think it's worth noting. They were very iconic airmen of the sky in World War II. So I'm airmen excited to see what they do with that. Yeah, the airmen of the sky.
Describe what that is to me. I don't know what it is.
The airmen of the sky.
No. Not that part. The Tuskegee Airmen.
Oh, the Tuskegee Airmen?
it again.
This is me stalling. The Tuskegee Airmen.
You said it was cool. You said it was fun.
It is. So it is. It's a group of black soldiers that were fighter pilots, and it's they have a lot of accolades. I don't know what they are off the top of my head, but I've seen them in history. Quite a bit. Whenever I go to like a World War II museum or see anything online, you always hear about them when it comes to the airline theater of war. But they were like Tuskegee is like where they trained. That's not random. That's like where they trained. So it's like a group of guys that trained at this airfield. They were the first African American flying unit in the U.S. military. So that's like iconic and historical, and I love that, and I'm psyched to see what they do with it.
Yes, they're on the poster. And
yes.
And for a bit here, we haven't seen them. And
no,
I've been and I've been like, where are these guys? They're on the poster.
Yeah.
Like, okay. So the three people on the poster are the three main characters I described before. Barry Keoghan, not on the poster. And then there's one more dude, and I don't know who it is, and I don't know what character he plays, and that's not probably good.
That's not chill. I need to look at the poster.
Okay.
Which poster are you looking at?
This is a poster.
There's so many.
IMDb.
The one I see is the one of like the four main guys.
No, you're wrong.
Oh, okay.
Are you on the IMDb?
I'll be in 2 seconds.
Okay,
I see it now. I see what you're talking about. Okay. So
who's that guy?
So Austin bottom Butler, right. Bottom right.
Is that Sawyer?
That would be hilarious if that was Sawyer Spielberg, because I don't think he's as main as some of the other guys.
No.
I don't know. Maybe we did see him. I'm not sure.
I mean, I'm just like trying to line up his eyes.
Yeah, we're describing a visual object on a podcast. This is great content.
It's bad content.
Anyway,
it's bad content, but like I'm interested. So like whatever, I'll move on.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see, although it should tell you in IMDb who's in that picture.
Then you figure it out, dude. I'm not doing it. So.
Brandon Cook, Nate Mann, Austin Butler, Callum Turner, Anthony Boyle, Nkudi Gatwa, Josiah Cross. I'm going to take a guess. Nope.
Not sure.
Callum Turner?
Nope. Callum Turner is Bucky.
Nate Mann?
Nathan Mann.
It kind of looks like him.
This is just the worst. That is 100% probably maybe.
Callum Turner?
No, it's Nate.
Or no, Nate Man. I'm sorry. Yeah, even guy. I'm losing track.
You're losing it, my dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm
Major Robert Rosenthal.
Yeah.
Is who he played.
I'm not sure if we've met him yet. Anyway, new episodes for this are coming out every Friday. We have Cary Joji Fukunawa directing at least one more episode. He directed the first four. And then there are 9 episodes total, and we have a team of directors, Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck, doing 5 and 6. They are known for such as Captain Marvel, Freaky Tales, It's Kind of a Funny Story, and Mississippi Grind. And then we have Dee Reese for 7 and 8, known for... Pariah, which is in Mudbound. Pariah being the only one that I know, although she did do episodes of Space Force. And then the finale is Tim Van Patten.
Which is interesting. I'm looking at his repertoire.
Yeah. Here. Just to name a few. Deadwood, Rome, The Pacific, 3 episodes. Mm-hmm. Game of Thrones, which is including... Season 1, Episode 1 and Season 1, Episode 2. He's the one who created the aesthetic for Game of Thrones.
Okay.
10 episodes, Boardwalk Empire, Hang the DJ, the Black Mirror episode, Perry Mason, 5 episodes and an executive producer on it. Gone too soon.
Yeah.
This dude is like,
and you missed the biggest, one of the biggest ones. He did 20 episodes of The Sopranos.
Yes. Right.
That's unreal.
3 episodes of The Wire.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm hopeful that the finale is in good hands.
This dude slaps.
Yeah. This dude slaps.
So yeah, I'm just really excited about this show.
Yeah. I'm happy it's as good as it's turning out to be. And I'm very psyched to continue watching it.
Yeah. So we are going to probably chunk this one out unless episode 4 happens next week. And I'm like, or not next week, but tomorrow in our time, real time.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you know what? We're just doing Masters of the Air now, Adam. I think it might end up being that way.
You know what? As we dig into these stories and things start happening, we might have enough to talk about.
Right. That's
or
the
if
thing.
We don't, you're going to hear about other things we're watching and trailers we've watched too.
Right. Yeah. I finally finished Reacher season 2. So at some point, I'll tell you about that.
Okay, I was going to say, what are your feels?
I didn't like it. Anyway.
Oh, no.
relative to the first season.
Fair. Yeah. I mean, it's the first season was good.
Yeah, and the second one was weird and bad. Anyway, I'll be back for season 3. Alan Richardson, though, I'm a rich head. I'm coming with you. But in the meantime... if you want these podcasts earlier and ad-free, plus a bunch of extra bonus content, it costs you money. It costs $1, actually, a month. And the way in which you spend that dollar is you go to patreon.com/HBOBOYZ. And what you get is the stuff I already said, plus you get your name read at the end of every episode by your boy Adam. And he does... If you want him to do it in like a cool voice, you can tell him on our private Discord that you also get for that $1 a month. And on said private Discord, you can tell us what to watch, what you've been watching, and just like have long-term conversations with us for $12 a month. Wait.
$12. Yeah. I mean, $12 a month would be great, but
you could do that. I wouldn't recommend it. If I'm being honest with
you. You know what? If someone wanted to do the $12 a month, I would send a trinket to that person.
Gross.
I would interact with you with a trinket of some sort with HBO Boys flair.
Okay.
Okay. I guess Ryan's on board. Maybe
I'm not. I want to make it very clear. I'm not on the board for trinkets. Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Rewarding our patrons for being loyal subscribers. I get it. But we do want to.
With
we
content, do wanna, not we with wanna, the word you chose. Trinkets?
Trinkets, Ryan. Adam? We can find trinkets.
Read names anyway, we'd like so to I can thank, eat almonds.
we'd like to thank our current subscribers, Sunshine, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Adam Donging Ryan, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Susan, and Buffalo Pizzle. And a special thanks to Sunshine and Brent Ginn for being our $5 a month tier patrons. Thank you very much for what you give, and we hope you continue to do so into the future. And as always, you can follow us on all of our social medias at the HBOBOIZ. And, you know, follow us and like us and subscribe and repost and all that fun, good stuff.
Trinkets?
Trinkets, Ryan.
You have me all shook up, I'll tell you.
I would, you know what? If people wanted to subscribe and do a higher tier, I would absolutely purchase some like pins that say HBO Boys or pens that say HBO Boys.
You're talking about merch, buddy.
Merch, dude. Merch. Okay. If you want a hoodie, I'll make it happen.
Wow. I want one. Make me one.
We should make hoodies.
Okay. Well, you know, if you, sending merch is one thing. If you send people trinkets, you're going to end up in the jailhouse, Rock.
For sending a trinket?
Yeah, it's now or never.
A token of my appreciation in a trinket form.
Okay, don't be cruel.
I love trinkets.
I can't help falling in love with you.
Oh, boy.
Send me to the Heartbreak Hotel.
Oh.
Wise men say only fools rush in.
Keep going. Regale me, dude.
But I can't.
Thank you for subscribing to our Patreon.
Oh, no. Finish it. Oh. Finish it.
Falling in love with you.
No. Oh. No, do it again and commit.
I'm done. It's over.
Oh, come on.